This morning, we are on our third week, third of our four-part series on Sweet Like Honey. We're checking out some of God's many promises that he says in his word. The Bible actually says in Psalms 119, 103, "How sweet your words taste to me, they are sweeter than honey." Have you been in the honey this week? I trust that you have. These two previous weeks, whether you're here or not, we discussed about God's promises to give us rest. And last week, we looked at the promises of God's grace. It is His grace that we are saved by, that His strength is made perfect in our weakness. We must create space for God to do His thing in our lives. We must live and walk by faith, and be willing to step out in faith. We have to learn that He is working even when we cannot see Him. We were singing that song earlier this morning. He's always working. Have you ever been in a situation where you felt like God had left you? Have you ever been in that situation? I will say that I have. I've been in that situation where I'm like saying, "Man, where are you, God?" In that season, much like yours, I was struggling to experience God's goodness. It felt lonely, almost isolating. I was experiencing God like I usually do. He seemed to be absent. Like, "Come on, God. Where are you at? I felt you here with me last week, but right now, I feel like you've left me." I want you to know that He will never leave you, and He is always there for us. He was working in all things, even the hardest things that we could never even imagine. Let me bathe this in prayer. Father God, this morning, please grant us eyes to see your goodness in each and every situation in our lives. Grant us the faith to believe you are a good, good Father. Father, this morning, let me only use the words that you would have me to share. Let this be all about you. And we give you the glory this morning. Amen. There are times and seasons in our lives where it is nearly impossible to imagine things getting better. Like, is it ever going to get better? But maybe it's not as much about things getting better or easy or fixed. But we're about to learn this morning, maybe it's about fixing our eyes on the goodness of God. Romans 8:28 says, "And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to His purpose for them." God is not only working for the sake of our, He's not working just for the sense of saying, "Okay, I'm God, I got to keep busy, I got to keep doing this." No, He's working for us. He's working for our good and ultimately to give Him the glory. Though it may be hard to believe at times, it's true. But what if God defines good a little bit different than we do? Here in this verse, Paul uses a particular Greek word of our English translation, good. The word essentially means good, whether it be seen to be good or not. Let me give you an example. All right, so I know that each one of us here, I would imagine, are praying for someone to come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior the way you have. They've been in your prayers. You've prayed for them earnestly. I know that I continue to. There's a couple that are at the top of the list. And we pray that, do you pray that dangerous prayer? Father, whatever it takes. Sometimes I don't believe we know what we're asking when we say that. Father, do whatever it takes for them to draw closer to you. The one thing about praying this is, God, is sometimes it may be taking some physical attributes away from you, or maybe you're sick. And hear me, I know when we say we pray for anything to happen, sometimes it takes a catastrophic thing almost to wake us up and say, man, there's only one way I lived through that accident. I'm still alive. I'm not feeling my hands and arms yet, but the only reason I'm alive has got to be God. God, you saved me. I surrender everything to you. Sometimes it takes big things to turn us around, to turn people around. And regardless of what it looks like, the important thing is salvation happens. The important thing is that they become one with God and that they have a friend named Jesus. God ultimately gets the glory for every salvation, and therefore he is still working for good in the process. It's sometimes hard to see, but I want to talk a little about this morning about God's promises and how they work for good. So, in what areas do they work for good? I think there are three ways that I want to highlight this morning in speaking about God's promises of God's goodness. The first one is in our families. Number one, all right? In our families. The family is a starting place for most of us. We deeply care about our families. Most of us do. I know that the family dynamics don't allow that. But I think for the most part that we deeply care for our family, and it pains us when a family member is experiencing some level of hardship. We've all been there. But we must continue to believe the truth that God is not wasting nothing. He is not wasting his time. A few weeks ago, I spoke about Joseph. Joseph in the Old Testament, he's one of the 12 brothers. And at the very beginning, Joseph was favored. His dad liked him the most. He had a robe. His brothers didn't like him. They didn't like the way he dreamed. And they said, hey, Joseph, you're out of here. And so they said, hey, let's kill him. And then the other brother said, no, let's just sell him. Let's make some couple of coin from him. Next thing you know, he's in Egypt, and he starts rising up and the ladder of responsibility. People are taking note of him, and then things are going well, and then all of a sudden he's falsely accused. Falsely accused. Have you ever been falsely accused?
I have.
Falsely accused. And so he ends up in prison. So now he's in the joint, right? He's doing time for something that he didn't do. He was falsely accused. And then from there, he rises up again because God is using Joseph. And then there comes a time where Joseph and his brothers are around the table. They're dining. His dad is there. The whole family's there. And you would think Joseph, with all the power, he's just one under Pharaoh. He's got all this juice, right? And Joseph was treated badly. One would think Joseph was like, okay, I got you now. I've got you now. And I'm going to get you. But this is what it says in the text when we read in Genesis 50, 19, 20. Joseph said this. He replied, don't be afraid of me. Am I God that I can punish you? You intended to harm me, but God intended all for good. He brought me to this position so I could save the lives of many people. Even people in Joseph's family, Joseph's own family, intended something very evil for him. However, Joseph recognized that God was doing a good work in him. Here's the reality. There will be people, whether they are part of your family or not, who will seek to orchestrate a way that will bring you down. They're nothing but evil. And sometimes there are people right inside the walls and where we meet. John 15:18 says, if the world hates you, remember that it hated me first. The term that we use now, they're a hater, all right? Okay, we're just now catching up, all right? Because Jesus already was using that. He was already saying, there will be haters. There are people that will hate on you. They hated on me first. And elsewhere in God's word, in Matthew 10:22, it says, and all nations will hate you because you are my followers, but everyone who endures to the end will be saved. In other words, hangest thou in there? He's there. They hated you, just know that they hated me. And they'll continue to hate you because you're following me. It's all right, because as long as you're following me, as the women's study was speaking of last Saturday before last, this fight is fixed. We know who wins. Are we willing to shift our mindset to the Romans 28 passage that I read, and that we know that God causes everything good to work together for those who love our God? Will we make the decision to believe God is still working for good, even when our families experience hardships or heartaches of any kind? Maybe that's the exact season that you may find yourself in this morning. Your family being in hardship, or a family member being in hardship. And if that's you this morning, I encourage you to stand firm. Have faith and trust in God's goodness. But God is not only working for good in our families, He is also at our jobs. So in our jobs, in a room like this, it's filled with people here with many occupations. We have people that are in the medical field. We have people who work in automotive, all right? We have people who fix planes. We have people who are working 9-to-5s. And last but not least, but, you know, there's that person who's always working. Moms. Moms. They're always working. They got the hardest job. But regardless of what your career looks like, the reality is the same for all of us. There are other people involved in your job. This means that we've got an amazing opportunity to share God's goodness to them. However, not everybody that's in your sphere, everybody that's in your place, is going to be thrilled about having a Jesus freak in their cubicle next to them. Sometimes things get a little extreme in some workplaces. Some people are like, I don't want that person here. Oh my goodness, there they are, reading their Bible again. Aren't you supposed to be doing that only on your lunch hour? It gets rough sometimes on our job. Sometimes to the point where often you've got to make a decision. Sometimes the decision is made for you. Some people say, some job employers like, you're fired, you're out of here. Have you ever had something like that happen to you? Or maybe even transitioning. I know for me, coming here to Palmer, Alaska. It was like I was leaving a very secure place. I had a very good job. God blessed me with that. God really was blessing the ministry that I was involved in Fairbanks. And then Father said, I want you to come to Palmer. And there's a little bit of uncertainties there. Although I know that I was in my office and I was singing the song, Good, Good Father. And there were things that I said, Father, I wonder if the people in Palmer know that song. And the answer was given to me when the last song of the set was Good, Good Father. But still, when I came here, it wasn't even decided how much I was going to be paid. I mean, where was I going to live? I really didn't have a place. And I can't believe that Father would move me from Fairbanks to here and it be wasted. If when God moves you to a different place, that time is not wasted. There may be challenges. No. There will be challenges. It's going to be hard. Oh, is it going to be hard? But He's moved you for a reason. And the reason is not wasted. He's not looking at your lives and throwing them up against the wall like a string of spaghetti to see if it'll stick. He doesn't operate that way. Sometimes we need somebody motivational to speak into our lives, or maybe just an encouraging word that always helps. There's a couple of men that do that for me. There's a couple of sisters that do that for me. There's a guy every Sunday who preaches here every now and then. His name is Chris, and he sends me an encouraging word every Sunday in a prayer. Sends one to me, and he sends one to Mark Sager over at Wasilla. He encourages to let us know to keep on keeping on. The Bible repeats a different notion over and over again, especially in the Old Testament. In order to see that God would truly is not wasting time, God invited His people, the Israelites, to remember them. You know, the ones that He divided the sea, parted the waters. And He says in Deuteronomy 5:15, He says, remember that you were once slaves to Egypt. Some close to 400 years they were enslaved. But the Lord your God brought you out with His strong hand and a powerful arm. He said, don't forget about what happened, okay? How is it that we so easily get discouraged when God has worked a big way in our lives in the past, and now something new comes up, and we're just like, man, we start freaking out. And God like say, don't freak out. I was there the last time, right? Come on. I'm there for you. He's always faithful. He's faithful when you're sick. He's faithful when your mind is just trying to grapple with the things that are going on in your workplace. If we simply are willing to believe that God is truly not wasting nothing, there's nothing that can hold us back from accomplishing His plans and His purposes. Nothing. Today, I want to close our time together talking about a final area of life where the goodness of God abounds. It may sound strange, but I believe it's important to talk about how God works here in this place. Now, because of what we do when we come to worship here on Sundays, just like this, the assumption is that God is working for good and the evidence is all around us. We have a nice facility. We're blessed to have a facility right next to us in which we're able to feed the people in this community, both physically and spiritually. But the reality is, in many places of worship, they struggle They struggle. They struggle to keep the doors open in their place. They struggle to keep the pastors. They struggle in people being engaged spiritually. Their relationship with their Heavenly Father. So in God's house, the church, how do we believe God won't waste anything when the current state of affairs is not where it's been in the past? I think the answer lies in the understanding of how the evil one works. You see, not just in regard to churches, but in all different areas of life we discussed today, the devil will do anything he can to distract those of us who love him and call him Savior and friend. He'll do anything he possibly can. There are times that he will say, that Satan will say, it was like, okay, they're doing a good job here. The work that's being done here, I'm just going to say, the work that's being done here at Palmer Church of God is good. It's a good work. It's a good work. They're just not sitting idly by. They're reaching out to people. They're feeding people. And Satan doesn't like that. If we were just like pew potatoes and didn't do anything, he wouldn't even mess with us. But the fact that we are doing something or doing a good work, he'll tug on the pant leg of someone. Or a group, and just say, is there really anything good happening? And you got to figure, Satan figures, if he can get a hold of somebody, to get them to change their mindset, he figures Satan is doing a good work. John 10:10, the first part, it speaks about Satan. It says, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. This is the character of the evil one. What better place for the devil to work than among God's people, those that are seeking to do his will? He's like, man, if I can just get a hold of somebody in there, rattle them up a little bit. You got to remember that Jesus Christ is much stronger than that. He is much stronger than that. And then when you read that next part of John 10:10, it says in the New Living Translation, my purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. It says in the NIV, I have come that they may have life and have it in full. But in the NSV, the NASV, and the King James, it says, I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. Well, our God's just not going to give us table scraps. He's just not going to give you a ramen or a TV dinner to survive on. He's like saying, hey, let me give you a big 10-ounce prime rib, right? Okay. Baked potato, chives. I need to hurry up. I'm getting hungry now. He's saying he's going to give you life, but he's going to give it to you abundantly. The promise of goodness includes the promise of abundant life. That's what God has for us and this church. In our church, in our homes, and in our jobs, God has a patent on abundant life that no one can touch, that no one else can come close to. He says in Ephesians 3:20, it says, he is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. Father is, when I read that text, you know, sometimes we I don't know if I can do that or not. I don't know if I can teach little kids. I don't know if I can speak in front of big kids. My Father says, I can do something in you that you can't even imagine. Some of you are here last week and you heard some friends of mine that I knew from high school share. They said, JR, the fact that you're in church, the fact that you're speaking God's word, is nothing short of a miracle. We were worried about you. We prayed for you. And look at you now. Because our Heavenly Father has done something immeasurably more than I could have ever imagined. And the same thing goes for each and every one of you this morning. There's something in each and every one of you. He's saying, I've got something for you. Just wait. It's coming. It's around the corner. It's going to rock your socks. Sometimes we're tempted to be discouraged because of what seems like wasted time. Father, why did you bring me here to this place? I've said that. Father, why did you bring me to this place? Don't you see how discouraged I am? Nobody ever beat me up like this where I was from. No one. Father, I think this is a waste of time. I think you blew it. And Father is like saying, no, JR, you've got to go through this. I'm not wasting my time with you. And you need to let the people of Palmer Church of God know that their time in serving and what they do in faith, like mustard seed faith, the one that says, you tell a mountain to jump into the water and it goes? Do you have that faith in knowing that the goodness of his love for each and every one of you is right there? Jeremiah 29:11 says, for I know plans I have for you, says the Lord. There are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future of hope. I hope you believe that this morning. That he has a plan for you. He's got a plan for me. And his plans are good. His plans are great. As long as we have faith in him and abide in him and believe in him as our Lord and Savior. I'd better stop. Father, this morning, we thank you for your goodness. And Father, I pray that we would be able to share your goodness in our homes, in our workplaces, and especially here in this church. Let us not only experience your goodness, but share your goodness with others. That's what you've called us to do. Father, I pray that for those whether there's somebody here that doesn't know you yet as a friend, I pray that today they would seek you out. That they'd ask somebody and say, what is this whole thing about? What's this whole Jesus thing about? What was JR talking about? Having him as your Savior. If there is someone like that this morning, I pray that they reach out. And I pray for those, I join with those who are praying for loved ones who they would like to have a relationship with you. Your word is sweet. Sweet like honey. In your name I pray. Amen.